Now, another person who we speak to on a very regular basis, of course, is David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. And I'm delighted to welcome David to the programme again. You're welcome to us once more, David.
Thank you very much, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and to everybody there in Astronomy Ireland and all of the work that you do. David, it's good talking to you again at this time of the year, because I suppose it's nice to look forward and look back a little bit. And of course, this year has been an amazing year for the Northern Lights, the Aurora. There was quite a few of them throughout the year, including the other evening, but I don't think we saw them here in Connemara.
Yeah, I think maybe some people did, because we had lots of reports from the West Coast, and it was great to kick off the year with the first day and an aurora. What more could you ask for than that? I actually saw 10 displays last year, and with a start like that, I'm wondering, will that record be broken? And we might see even more. There's a good chance, because there is a season of auroras, of northern lights, that go through a cycle every 11 years. The numbers increase and then decline, and we're at the start of about a three-year season of auroras. So last year should have been fairly good, maybe not as good as it was. Will this year be better? So keep watching the skies. And if you want to get predictions, we did predict this aurora was coming. So go to our website, astronomy.ie. Down the bottom, you'll see all the social media, Facebook, X, Instagram. And every afternoon, around sunset, we post, is there going to be an aurora from Ireland or not? We did it today, we did it New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, Christmas Day. We do it 365 days a year. So if you want to see the next one, at least you'll know when it's due.
Okay. Now, these are caused by the sun, the flares, is that right? And of course, we've had a very exciting program just going by the sun recently to study it. What was that one looking for? What was it hoping to find out?
Yeah, the Parker Solar Probe. Well, it's studying the sun in great detail, just a few million kilometres away. It's about 50 times closer, maybe not that many, 20 times closer than the Earth is to the sun. So from there, it can get a very close view. The only problem is it's extremely hot that close to the sun. The temperature goes up to 1,000 degrees Celsius on the side of the spacecraft facing the sun. So it's got a special heat shield that the cameras can just peek around. So the electronics are all kept safe, and the cameras can have a quick glimpse of the sun that close. They can also measure the particles that the sun is emitting, because it's emitting huge amounts of radiation. And it's trying to explain things like, you know, as you go higher up, usually things get cooler. So on the Earth, you go up and up and up, it gets colder till you get to the depths of space. But on the sun, for some reason, that happens. The core is extremely hot. The surface is hot by our standards, but a lot cooler than the core. But then the temperature shoots up to 1,000,000 degrees Celsius, above the sun, where we would have thought it would be cool. So what's heating the sun's outer atmosphere that much? We don't know for sure. And that's one of the things in particular that the Parker Solar Probe is designed to try and answer. And this will be the closest it ever gets in its trip to the sun. It doesn't go around the sun in a circle. It sort of swoops in, takes a quick look, and then swoops back out to safety. So we won't get the actual results for a few more weeks. It did radio back after it went to its closest point to the sun to say, I'm alive, I survived. And that's good news. Now it can beam the data and the images back to the Earth scientists, who are waiting to find out what the closest probe ever to go to the sun has found out.
And then the effect, as I say, on the aurora, is that then to do with the solar flares charging the atmosphere or something?
Yeah, what's happening on the sun is, I mean, the sun is 100 times wider than the Earth. It's a huge ball of glowing hydrogen gas. That doesn't really matter. The important thing is the temperature, because anything at that those kind of temperatures will be vaporized. And that means that they can conduct electricity. And therefore, there's lots of electrical currents running on the sun. They make magnetic fields. And the magnetic fields on the sun are crazy. And the sun rotates about once every month. And that wraps the magnetic fields around and around the sun. Now, for about 11 years, it's too much. And they start to snap. And the hot material from below is stopped from bubbling up by these magnetic fields, and those parts cool down. But eventually they're going to reconnect, and that can produce massive explosions, coronal mass ejections, they're called. And we can see them happening with spacecraft, and that's what gives us the 1 to 2 day warning when we see one of them headed straight towards us. Now, it's not an exact science, But 50% of the time we get it right. The display actually on New Year's Day was a bit stronger than we expected. Sometimes it doesn't happen at all. It misses the Earth just about. So it's not a guaranteed prediction, but at least we can say there's radiation on our way, and if it hits us like we expect it to, there should be an aurora tonight or tomorrow night. So if you follow social media, astronomy.ie, go to the links there. Every day we'll tell you whether or not there's an aurora expected. And, of course, the results of the Parker Solar Probe, we'll be reporting on those in Astronomy Ireland magazine in due course. We always cover all the big stories, and especially if they've got an Irish involvement.
Okay. Now, we're staying with the sun for the moment, because I presume this is something to do with the way that it affects things. Somebody just asked us to talk to you about the sunsets. At the moment in Connemara, the sunsets have been absolutely spectacular. I suppose, you know, you could say, well, what affects, why do they change colours? Why are there all these different colours? What actually effect is happening there? What's going on?
Well, it's nothing actually to do with the sun itself, the colour of the sunset. It's all to do with the Earth's atmosphere. And when the sun gets low down, the same effect that makes the sky blue kicks in. And that is that white light, sunlight, is made up of roughly the three primary colours are red, green and blue. There's all the seven colours of the rainbow, but let's just stick with red, green and blue. And each one of those colours has a longer wavelength of light. And dust particles, even atoms in the atmosphere, smaller than dust particles, can scatter the short wavelengths of light, the blues. And that's what happens in the blue sky. But the green, red and the greens, they'll still get through. But if there's a lot of particles in the air, the green light gets scattered as well. And now you're left just with red. And that's why we get red sunsets. Red is the hardest thing for the Earth's atmosphere to scatter. So we'll often get red sunsets, especially if there's lots of particles in the atmosphere. And hence, we get red sunsets, even though the sunlight hitting the upper atmosphere is the same sunlight, white sunlight, that hits us normally all the time. So it's an atmospheric effect.
Okay, so it just depends, as you say, with the atmosphere. And of course then clouds, I suppose, make a big difference as well, because if there's different kind of shapes and sizes of clouds, that'll affect.
If there are clouds, of course, you won't see through the clouds at all, and we'll have no sunset. So it's actually lucky that we get to see sunsets when the sun is very low down. Ireland is, unfortunately, mostly cloudy. 3 out of 4 nights on this island are totally cloudy from dusk till dawn. Not great for astronomers. No. When we do get a clear sky, wow, we really want to celebrate it.
Well, Astronomy Ireland does this job, I can tell you, with all the members you have. David, just, I suppose, looking to the month ahead of us here as well, the things that are happening, and I know everybody's talking about this magnificent star that they're seeing in the sky, this huge, big, bright star, which is really spectacular. Of course, as you said to us before, this is a planet that we're looking at.
Yeah, this is Venus, and Venus is coming closer to Earth over the next few weeks. In fact, all during January and in February, it's at its very best. So if you were looking at it tonight, there was some clear skies tonight, you would have seen Venus blazing away in the south as soon as the sun sets. And it's there for a few hours. And in fact, the moon was just below it tonight. It looked lovely. And tomorrow night, it's going to be even closer. In fact, the most spectacular naked eyesight that we're featuring in this month's magazine is Venus very near to the moon, because they are the two brightest objects in the night sky. And for them to get extremely close to my eyes is quite rare. So it's a lovely crescent moon. Venus will just be above it. Venus is 100 times brighter than the brightest stars overhead. So it's going to be an incredible spectacle, but quite pretty this evening, but tomorrow night will be 10 times better. And that's Friday night. Then on Saturday night, the moon moves on and actually passes in front of the planet Saturn. I'm running the computer calculations 200 years into the future, and I can't find a better view of the moon passing in front of Saturn from Ireland than we're going to get on Saturday. So the next two nights are really special. Venus near the moon, and then the moon passes in front of Saturn. So if you sign up to Astronomy On, you'll get the SkyDAR emailed to you immediately you join, and you'll have the diagrams and details of all that to get ready. And it looks like the weather forecast might cooperate for once. So we really want people to send in their photographs of such rare events.
Uh-huh. It was very spectacular last night, the stars particularly. Now, I know we've talked about some of the comets that might be coming, and there was one, I think, has it arrived to us yet, or are we still waiting for the big comet just yet?
Yeah, there have been two. There's one in the news at the moment that's going to be very hard to see. It could be extremely bright as Venus, but it'll be very near the sun. and so extremely low down. I don't think anybody but experts are going to see it, unless you've come in the southern hemisphere for this one. That's around the middle of January. But the one that we had last year in October, it went near the sun and came out the other side, and we did see it. I remember thinking, right, I must step out now and get my camera ready. It's getting dark to take a picture of this comet. I hope I'm able to find it. I just looked up, and there it was with the naked eye sitting above the rooftops. Really easy to see. So it was, we'd predict the whole thing, maps and everything else in the Astronomy Island magazine, and it duly performed. So we had a lovely naked eye comet in October, called TA, it has a foreign sounding name, Suqian Chan Atlas, okay. Named after a Chinese observatory that originally discovered it when it was very far from the sun. So that was a naked eye comet, spectacular at the end of last year. This one that's coming, I'm calling it G3, it's not going to be really easy to see from Ireland. So I don't think most people are going to see that one, but there will be other comets coming. Usually they're found a few months later, less than a year usually, they're at their very brightest. So there's a few of the ones that we might see with the naked eye or binoculars that we know are coming, but we could always get a super spectacular one like the one we saw in October any time. During lockdown there was an incredible comet called Neowise anyone could see with the naked eye. Well, if you didn't have Astronomy Island magazine, you didn't know where to look, or you didn't know it was coming. And an awful lot of people missed it. So there are these bright comets coming all the time. You know, that's why we produce the magazine, so we can tell people what to see every month.
Okay. Before we finish up, just let us know a few things that might be happening otherwise in January, what to look out for.
Yeah, well, we've just been doing reviewing the whole year, if you want to go a bit further. So in January, definitely, the planet Mars is at its closest. Look at our website and see the Mars watch if you're in the Leinster area of the country. But you'll see it with the naked eye anyway. There are four bright planets, Venus, Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars on view all during this month. Looking further afield, we've got three eclipses of coming visible from Ireland, three supermoons, Mars at its closest, Saturn with its rings closest to edge on later in the year, the big annual barbecue events on September the 20th in the Wicklow Mountains this year, and loads more other things to see with planets going near the moon, as with Saturn behind the moon on occasion. Venus and Saturn are going to get extremely close together. There's a long list. There's something really spectacular, usually two or three things to see every single month. And, you know, if you join Astronomy Island, it's about €1 a week is all it costs, because it's mostly run by volunteers, then you'll get not only the monthly magazine, but also a weekly email that will remind you of everything that's coming on at the long. And anything new, like the Aurora, we'll have on our social media as well. And the social media is free, so at least go to astronomy.ie and sign up for that. And if you've got €1 a week, you like looking at the stars, get the magazine, get the weekly emails, and we'll make sure you never miss a thing.
Okay, well, David, we will keep you here on this programme with us from time to time to inform us as well. But thank you so much for being with us, and Happy New Year to you and everybody in Astronomy Ireland.
Thank you very much, and Happy New Year to all the listeners.
Thanks, David. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That's David Moore there, Mr. Astronomy, as I say, from Astronomy Ireland. And, of course, as he said, the magazine there available. And if you want to join Astronomy Ireland, just get on to it.